I mean, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. God is actually going to overlook all that stuff based on the work of salvation in my life, based on His purpose, His grace, which He purposed in Himself before the foundation of the world to save me. He gave His Son on the cross that my sins would not be imputed to me, counted against me, and gives me these exceeding great and precious promises that enable me by faith in them, by going from faith to faith, it enables me to go from righteousness to righteousness and to the righteousness of God. And that is where I'm continually moving. And ultimately is never really fulfilled until our death. But that does not mean we remain sinners up to the moment of our death. What it means is that there is a process and a progress whereby the works of God are turning us so that when we die, we are perfect. I want my death to be perfect. You know, when I come to death, at that moment, I want to have suffered in my body for the Lord's sake. I want to have put away evil and unrighteousness in my life. I want to really have put on Christ and have been practiced in it. Not like it's just something I did that day. It is true that the thief on the cross repented in one moment and was saved. And God has the option to do that. But for those who have opportunity to follow Him sooner than the last second, meaning that thief met the Lord at the cross. He didn't meet the Lord in his teens and then shun Him for 50 years. And then at the last second, expect salvation. Salvation is a lifelong occupation. Not that it's like I need to do these works to get saved. All these works do is prove to me that I am saved. God knows. And He gives us this word. We preach this word of reconciliation. We speak the words that they may be reconciled to God, that we could have our sins forgiven us, that God has already forgiven them because He has chosen us who believe on Him. If we believe not, then it is manifest He has not chosen us. But for those who do believe, God has chosen you to reconcile you, to make you into a son. Whether you be male or female, it matters not. You know, they always talk about how the female has been getting the short end of the stick. Well, God's going to treat you like a son, so you won't get any short end of the stick with God. You won't be a son and a daughter. You will be on equal footing, because there is no difference with Christ. Now then, we are as ambassadors for Christ, as through God, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made Christ to be sin for us. He had known no sin, but He became sin and was put to death, that sin might die in us, and that we could be reconciled to God, and made the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man. The righteousness of man is a filthy rag, which means it is always polluted with some manner of sin. Meaning, I could try to be righteous. And in fact, in my life, my version of righteousness is not perfection, it's excellence. It is, I'm better than other people. I'm not as bad as some. Right, I don't do this, I don't do that, you know. I don't do crack, I don't do this. I could add all the things I don't do anymore. I don't do pot, I don't drink alcohol. I don't look at pornography on the internet, etc., etc., etc. I could look at all the things I do positively, and I could say, well, you know, hey, I'm pretty good. But then, if God were to closely examine me, He would still find spots. That's the righteousness of man. As long as I'm still walking with spots, I am not the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm still filthy. This goes back to what I was talking the other day. Yay and nay. Yay and nay. Yes and no. They tell you, you'll be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, not really. Not really. It is only imputed righteousness. The righteousness is imputed. Now, the righteousness is imputed before we do the works. That means that, okay, if God were to look at me closely, he would still see spots. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't impute my iniquities to me. He looks at me as righteous before I'm finished. He looks at me as I'm going to be when I'm finished. His vision of me is what I'm going to be when I'm done. But that doesn't mean I don't keep seeking him to fulfill the things which he has said I ought to fulfill. That I need to walk. You know, it is very simple. The grace of God teaches us a few things. And I quote this a lot. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is righteously in the sense of the righteousness of God in Christ. We are not. And let me finish that verse. That's Titus 2:11, 12, 13, 14. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what we're supposed to be. So don't, like I said, don't just read this and sit back and think, look it, he's made it, blah, 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 it's done. Yeah, his work is done, but our work has only begun. And don't despair. It's not that hard. The good works he asks are not heavy. His commandments are not grievous. You know, some people, you say this to them and they get so mad because they don't want to be righteous. They don't want to do the works. They want to just watch their R-rated movies, giggle at their filthy humor, and stuff their faces with food, and think, he hath made him to be sin for me, that I might be the righteousness of God in him. Yea and nay. Yea and nay. Yea.